doing the whole 6010.
Hello and welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Today is Wednesday, August 17th. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save. My name is Daniel Dopp. I am joined by Liz Loza and Field Yates after two long days of the Fantasy Marathon. Field, I'm surprised you're even sitting in that seat, if I'm honest.
Well, what I'm wondering, Daniel, is when you say two long days,
Field,
for Liz.
You're not wondering.
No. I can set separate from curious.
You're allowed to wonder.
I'm allowed to wonder and be curious on things, but... When you say two long days for Liz, is that because it's been the marathon, we've been doing a lot of content, or is it because she's actually had to be around us for two straight days?
Two full days. I think it's a little too much. A little Daniel and Field overload, Liz. Is that true?
No, this is fantastic. I've said to you both how much I appreciate you so warmly welcoming me into this wonderful team.
We are very lucky.
Seriously.
Very lucky, Liz, to have you. And we're so excited for a full year of content ahead. Should be a ton of fun.
Two, baby. Great to have you. Contract.
Oh, well, sorry. Multiple years of content ahead. Hopefully two decades worth of content ahead. But at least getting off the ground with this year ahead. How about that? I'm trying to rephrase this on the fly here. All right, Daniel, take it away.
Yeah, let's talk about some news. Coming out of the Fantasy Marathon, and we still got more to talk about, Phil, because... Adam Schefter said that there is a real chance that the status of Alvin Kamara's case is not going to affect his availability to play this season. He went 15th overall to Eric Moody last night. How does this news from Adam affect the way you're looking at Kamara in drafts?
So a couple things that I think are very important to start off by noting is that Alvin Kamara was charged with battery during a very serious and potentially nasty incident that took place during the week of the Pro Bowl. We are not trying to absolve him of potential guilt if he is indeed found guilty for what he has been charged with. We're not trying to say that just because he's available for this fantasy football season, this has anything to do with what took place during that Pro Bowl week. But from a strict availability standpoint, we thought if he were going to face a suspension, it might happen at some point to begin this season. And now looks like, according to Schefter, there is a possibility that if he does face some sort of suspension, it won't be until 2023. Many people have not yet drafted, but there are plenty of people that have drafted already. Nearly 2 million people signed up last night. And if you look at where Alvin Kamara has been going so far, his average draft position is 17.7. It's close to the back end of the second round in a 10-team league. If he is available for all 17 games this season, people that have already drafted will have landed one of the values of the draft. It's Alvin Kamara. He's been a top 10 running back in every of his first five NFL seasons. Moreover, Alvin Kamara, in what was perceived to be kind of a down year last year, because it was, his receiving was down, still had 3.6 catches per game last season. And more importantly is that he became the NFL's number one workhorse. If you look at carries plus targets, which I would define as opportunities, no one had more than Alvin Kamara last year. He got 24 per game. He was rushing the football more than ever. He sailed way past his career high of total rushes for a season, even when he did not play the entire season. He became a workhorse running back for them. But what I think is most important here is that I wonder if New Orleans feels as though getting him back to that sweet spot of 180 to 190 carries per year is actually the best way to utilize Alvin Kamara. And last year was more by necessity than by design. Bad quarterback play all last year. Not a lot of depth until the Mark Ingram trade behind that they could count on. Yeah. So Alvin Kamara, if he has already been drafted and you landed him around pick 17 or 18, I suspect that's going to look like at the end of the year, the best value that you will see in the first two rounds of the draft. By the time we get to the end of September, wouldn't surprise me if he's being drafted inside the first round as opposed to towards the back end of the second round.
Yeah. Okay. Liz, any real quick things to add on that?
Yeah, I wonder if recency bias from last year might affect that more than we are anticipating. Also, I went ahead this morning after the marathon and looked at the number of targets that Kamara averaged while Jameis Winston was healthy before the week 8, I believe, ACL injury. 5.5 targets per game.
Yep.
So behind Winston, though, we've got Andy Dalton this year, right? Winston hurt his foot in practice earlier this week. But I think to your point, I still believe that a 5-target per game average is within the range of probable outcomes for Alvin Kamara, which could put us at a 50-60-ish, depending on health, a catch season. And that's where we're projecting Aaron Jones to go. And if Aaron Jones is a second-round anchor... Why can't Kamara be?
And I think probably that conservative that projection's conservative.
Yeah.
First of all, that 5.5 number actually kept up throughout the rest of the season too. Like, he just kept getting tons of targets. If you go back over the past five seasons, which he has played, he leads all running backs in targets. Second behind him is Christian McCaffrey. I'll pull the exact number here for you. Over the past five seasons for those two players, it is, let me get the exact number here from Kyle, actually. Over the past 5 years, Alvin Kamara has 477 targets. Christian McCaffrey has 436 targets. Wow. The next closest running back is 361 targets over the past five seasons. Now, guys like Jonathan Taylor haven't been in the league that long, but still, we talk about how much more valuable to running backs targets are than carries. And over the past 5 years, Kamara has more than 100 more than the third place running back in terms of targets.
All right, let's talk about the Rams running backs. Move on, Liz, because last night you took Cam Akers in our mock draft. We're going to jump into our mocks a little bit later in the show, but both Cam Akers and Darrell Henderson have been dealing with some soft tissue injuries. Did you have any trepidation when you were deciding to go with Cam Akers there? Because I feel like I already know the answer based on the rest of the fantasy marathon. But when you have somebody that has been dealing with injuries, of course, there's always that question. How early do you feel comfortable taking them?
Right. So a couple of things. It's not great, right? You don't want to see a soft tissue issue, which can potentially linger and turn into a cascade of other soft tissue issues into the season, especially coming off of the injury that he had. However, I'd be more concerned if Sean McVay added a body like he did Sony Michel last summer. Mm. We're not seeing that. The number three back, who was projected to be the number three back, I believe the Rams moved up to the fifth round to get him, which is interesting given the position and the market around the position, is Kyren Williams. Well, he broke his foot in training camp. So it must not be that serious, or the coaching staff must, and medical staff, frankly, must not be that concerned if there aren't any tweaks being made given the lack of depth.
Yeah.
Yeah, just worth noting that Cam Akers now, he's played two full seasons. Early in his career, he got hurt in week two against the Eagles, had a ribs injury that cost him basically three games. Came back later, had a high ankle sprain that cost him a game late in the season, had an Achilles tear, which I think is a different category. Mm-hmm. But just worth reminding that as optimistic as I am about Cam Akers, it could be that the best case scenario for Cam Akers is maybe more like 12 to 14 games of being an RB2 as opposed to a 17-game slate.
Sure.
And there is some value in Darrell Henderson. Even if he's not a 17-game workhorse, he may have a pocket full of games this year where he is a workhorse for the Rams.
Well, speaking of workhorses, Field, I'm glad you said that, because we used to have one within the Washington backfield and Aaron Gibson. And now I'm told, Antonio Gibson, now I'm told he's working out with the special teams. And I have no idea what to make of Antonio Gibson. I don't know why it's because of Aaron Jones. Antonio Gibson working out with the punt coverage, Field Yates.
Yeah, so, and there's been more reporting this morning. He was working on the kickoff return team. And so here's what I would start with, is that this could be nothing. It's training camp. It's the time for experimenting. At the same time, if we heard that Jonathan Taylor or Christian McCaffrey was on the punt coverage team, it would raise our antenna up. A year ago, we were invoking Christian McCaffrey comparisons for Antonio Gibson. He could be this year's breakout star in fantasy football. We're in a much different place right now with Antonio Gibson. Yeah. It's just another suggestion that this is going to be a backfield by committee. And it's worth noting last year that until J.D. McKissic got hurt, so the design of the Washington offense, not the necessity of the offense late in the year, Antonio Gibson was only playing 54% of the snaps. Outside the top 15 for running backs, if you're not even in the top 15 in terms of snap percentage, hard for me to consider you a workhorse. Did not have any game before J.D. McKissic's injury, or until the game of J.D. McKissic got hurt, with more than three catches, I should say. So he's starting to remind me, he's not quite as far down in my ranks, but there are some elements of CEH where there are a lot of players involved. There's certainly a path to a very good fantasy role because he is a talented guy, but there are some mitigating factors that make me nervous, and he's not really a preferred target for me based off where he's going.
Agreed.
I think that anxiety is causing him to slide, and I do believe that I will be interested in buying the dip if I can get him as an RB3. He still finished, even with everything last season, a top 15 producer. I think Ron Rivera is an old school coach who also is trying to send him a message about ball security here. Again, I don't want him as my RB1 or RB2, but if the dip is low enough at RB3, I will absolutely take that. He was still a wide receiver at Memphis. I'm still holding on to a little bit of potential pass catching value, especially with Carson Wentz maybe being told to check it down a bit more.
Yeah. It just feels like J.D. McKissick to me, though, right? J.D. McKissick, one of the best receiving backs in the NFL, and got a real contract to return there this offseason.
And they didn't let him go to Buffalo, so that's absolutely accurate. Again, I mean, maybe this is because my husband's birthday was yesterday, and he's a Commanders fan, and I have nothing to offer him in terms of optimism or presence. Fair.
Happy birthday, so, though.
Happy birthday to the big guy. But yes, I might buy the dip on an RB3 situation.
All right. Let's talk about Ken Walker, because Pete Carroll said he's dealing, quote, with a little hernia thing. Liz, do you know how to figure out what a little hernia thing is?
I mean, if Pete Carroll is saying a little hernia thing, and we know that he's one of the most obtusely optimistic humans on the planet, I'm a little bit more concerned about him being fairly transparent, as transparent as maybe Pete Carroll can get about this situation. I don't want this backfield. I'm going to be honest. Like, there's nothing appealing about it. I don't want the quarterback attachment. I don't trust Rashad Penny to stay healthy. He's got played 13 games over the past 2 years. Yeah. So this is one that I will set on auto fade. As much as I liked Kenneth Walker and as much of a coward as I was in terms of having them ranked kind of back to back.
You and all of the rest of us, by the way.
This is the newest development has me deciding to go up.
Yeah, a couple thoughts here is that because of the injury to Ken Walker and the fact that Rashad Penny was recently banged up, it's going to get to the point, if it isn't there already, if these guys are going at such a low value that I'm okay with either one of them in the event that one of them becomes the guy in this backfield. And it may be that this little hernia thing turns into something much more. Adam Schefter said last night on our draft broadcast, he was hearing that it might not be a sports hernia. If it were a sports hernia, it might have caused a little bit more concern right out of the gates. So let's monitor this one, because if Kenneth Walker is going to miss 2 months, well, then all of a sudden Rashad Penny, who's currently going as RB35, becomes slightly more valuable. Sure. There are still serious limitations on him.
Yes.
He gets banged up. He does not catch passes. But as we saw down the stretch last year, if he's getting 20 to 25 carries behind what could be a better offensive line, even without Russell Wilson, he'll have some value, definitely in non-PPR leagues.
1 second, though, Phil. I mean, last year with Russell Wilson under center, Rashad Penny enjoyed a light front carry rate of 58%. That number is not going to be sustainable.
But he was also, was by far the best running back in fantasy for a while, for a 5-week stretch. So there's some legit skill there that if you're getting him as a, you know, as their third or fourth running back or fifth running back,
RB 35, yeah, like that's the point.
And he could have a much clearer role if Walker does miss time. Let's just keep our eyes on this one going forward.
Absolutely. Another one to keep our eyes on, because I was really excited about Ramondre Stevenson with the retirement of James White. Now I'm being told, Field, then maybe Ty Montgomery is going to be one of the pass catchers here in this backfield. What's the latest here with these Patriots?
This is more just like sort of a news or noise thing. I'm just sort of flagging it on our radar, is that Ty Montgomery seems like the best bet to lead the Patriots 2-minute drill at running back, which can have some value, especially if a team wants to go up tempo. Between the years 2016 to 2019, here's what James White did. This is sort of the James White role. 60 catches, 56 catches, 87 catches. He was a top 10 running back in 2018, and 72 catches in 2019. My instinct is this. I think Ty Montgomery is going to play for the Patriots. I think he's going to play in those up-tempo situations. I think he's going to chip away at some of the receiving production we want to see Ramondre Stevenson have, because Bill Belichick has been laudatory recently in his remarks about Ramondre Stevenson as a pass catcher. I don't think we're going full James White role, though. I just don't see that happening. I think that this is more of, he just takes a little bit of the passing game volume away from Ramondre Stevenson. So I'm not as optimistic as I have seen some in the past couple of days that Ramondre Stevenson could challenge for like 60 catches this year. I think that maybe 30, maybe 35 would be nice for Ramondre Stevenson. Super talented guy. I don't think we're going to have a Patriots running back who all of a sudden has a massive receiving season, especially because even if none of them are super duper stars, they go 7 deep with pass catchers, 5 good wide receivers, 2 tight ends. A lot of mouths to feed there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Phil, I think that does it for our news. And now let's move on to talk about, I think, what was the best draft of the night.
It certainly was. And this mock draft recap is presented by NerdWallet. On the fence over which credit card to get? With NerdWallet's side-by-side comparisons of top credit cards, you don't have to be. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions. There were 10 teams involved last night. It was a snake draft. We started with Damian Woody at pick 10, Anita Marks. Damian Woody at pick 1, Anita Marks at pick 10. Tyler Folger may have stolen the night with some of his unconventional picks, but he had an awesome draft last year, so don't count his team out yet. Daniel and Liz picked back-to-back. You had pick 7, Daniel. Liz, you had pick 8. So we're going to run through some of your picks, and we'll begin in round 1. Obviously, things in round 1 a little bit more predictable.
Justin Jefferson.
Thank you. There it was. As you had last night, you took Justin Jefferson, and you made it very clear it was not a difficult choice.
No, when I was picking at 7, I assumed I was going to have 3 guys available to me. Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, or Jamar Chase. I thought those were the 3 that were going to be available, because for me, that top-tier wide receiver is 1A Cooper Kupp, 1B Justin Jefferson, and then 3 Jamar Chase. That's how I feel like it is. So for me, if Jamar Chase was there, I was going to go running back based on what we've talked about with the fact that I wanted to make sure that I get that bell cow. But once I saw Justin Jefferson sitting on the board, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. I know what you're supposed to do. Take him.
You take him. Yeah. And so even though I didn't want to start necessarily with a wide receiver, it's different than what I've done a lot of times in my drafts. That value fell to me. I had to roll with it and just see what happened.
Liz, you had picked number 8 right behind Daniel Dopp, and you took a running back who could be a massive steal.
I took Derrick Henry for the exact same reason he was there. Yeah. And as much as I came on the show 2 days ago and said, I'm a little bit worried about this metric. Well, in the top 4, I'm worried about that metric. But if I can have a running back who averaged 21 fantasy points per game over 8 dang games, then yes, even if he gets me. Also, just like in terms of strategy, we all know that fantasy redraft specifically is a head-to-head proposition where you need to win immediately, which is why stashing these players is always like a fun thing to do, but might not pay off as quickly as you need to. So the ROI, assuming Derrick Henry starts fresh for me, was worth it. I trust myself to work the waiver wire if, and hopefully not when, something happens.
Yeah.
Another offseason with limited investment in the running back spot for Tennessee. Hassan Haskins drafted, but besides that, not like they added a guy who's been there, done that to take away a clear role from Derrick Henry. Pick 2, Daniel, you moved on to the running back spot and you grabbed Joe Mixon.
I did. DeAndre Swift was off the board, and for me it was between Joe Mixon and Alvin Kamara. And I know that we had talked about everything with Alvin Kamara and heard from Schefter, but at that point I felt like I wanted a little bit of that safer floor, a high-flying offense, someone that I know was going to score. And that offense is an elite offense led by Joe Burrow. You know they're going to be in scoring position, and it's not that Alvin Kamara isn't, but I'm just banking on the fact that the Bengals are going to be in scoring position and Joe Mixon is going to keep punching in touchdowns like he did last year with 16 touchdowns in 16 games.
Just 3.1 targets last season for Joe Mixon, but nearly 20 total opportunities per game. He was a big-time rushing volume contributor for them. And
did they make their offensive line better this offseason?
They did. They made their offensive line better this offseason. Obviously, the addition of Lyle Collins plus Alex Kappa plus Ted Kara should make a big difference, so should see even better rushing efficiency this season. And again, we think they're going to score like 30-plus points per game. Liz, you went back to a very familiar face in the second round, a guy who maybe is being slept on as the potential number one wide receiver in fantasy this year.
It's interesting because I think we really expected Stephon Diggs to build on his 2020 season in 2021. And in terms of yardage, the numbers dipped, though he did manage double-digit touchdowns and his air yards per target increased. I think when you've got a body like Gabe Davis on the other side, more rather than Emmanuel Sanders, there might be more availability to Diggs to return on where we saw him 2 years ago. And also, I don't mind taking the QB1's wide receiver one as a very high floor option at the receiver position.
Yeah. Hard for me to see this one failing. I think Stephon Diggs is just too good. This offense is just too loaded. So far, you guys are kind of going chalky picks, which is good in the first few rounds. You want to find players that you can count on. Daniel, let's go to round 3. And once again, a chalky pick at wide receiver.
Yeah, I went with Mike Evans here, and I was really excited about this. I like Mike Evans a lot this year. I know that we're waiting to see what happens with Chris Godwin coming back and all the targets that he's going to take up in that offense, but Mike Evans has had, the last two years with Tom Brady, 27 receiving touchdowns. He's had 1,000 yards in every season of his career. He's a guy that's just going to continue to be a top pass catcher in a Tom Brady-led offense in what is going to score 50 touchdowns this year. I mean, Tom Brady, I think, is going to push for close to 50 touchdowns this year. And so Getting somebody like Justin Jefferson, specifically a target monster who's going to soak up all those receptions, while I have Mike Evans, who sometimes is a little boomer busty on the other side.
High value looks.
That is the part where being able to marry those two wide receivers made it. I was really stoked to be able to get him there.
Roster construction coming into play there for Daniel. So third, we talked about this a little bit earlier on in the show, Liz, but you went to a player in Cam Akers who the talent is there. Perhaps dropping a little bit only because of the fact that injuries have played a part in his NFL career so far.
That's true. And, you know, the stat that we keep harping on for Cam Akers is obviously the 2020 weeks 11 through 19, right? 22 carries per week, 118 scrimmage yards on average per week. I looked back. We also forget that maybe Jared Goff was the quarterback then and that Matt Stafford's presence certainly shifts things. When I looked back, Cam Akers had a base front of 36% in 2020 with Jared Goff as the quarterback. Darrell Henderson, let's use him as the comp for last year because he was the primary back for most of the time. He had a stacked front 7.4% with Matthew Stafford as the quarterback. He had a light front nearly 68% of the time. If you can imagine Cam Akers, even not as explosive, if you want to give the Achilles injury argument, as he was 2 years ago, with a light front 68% of the time, is he going to get hurt? Probably. Am I projecting him to play 17 games? No. I think Field is absolutely right. Probably 13, but give me all of those points those weeks.
Yeah.
Really talented guy. That part, I think, is sort of the thing I always keep coming back to, is that like Cam Akers is freaking awesome when he actually has the ball in his hands, and this soft tissue injury, not right now a concern to threaten his week one availability. We go to round four, Daniel, and you have two wide receivers and a running back. Next up, another wide receiver.
Yeah, I couldn't pass this up. Michael Pittman came to me the idea that I'm getting a third wide receiver one, a guy that is the number one target monster for his team, and Michael Pittman gets a new quarterback in Matt Ryan. We see what he was able to do last year and hopefully take the step, a further step this year, because no offense to Carson Wentz, but I just like Matt Ryan under center quite a bit more for Michael Pittman's growth and maturation in this offense. I'm thrilled with this. And again, if I hadn't gotten Justin Jefferson, I would be a little bit nervous having both Mike Evans and Michael Pittman, but because I have such a huge target monster there, oh, and by the way, I think I drafted another target monster a couple rounds later, I felt okay with going with Michael Pittman here as my third wide receiver.
In a 10-team league, again, I think this applies to really all leagues. It's always more of an art than a science, but a 10-team league, it's a slightly more predictable art. So if you don't think that you're going to be threatened, or if you think there's a chance that in round five you can grab a running back, then you can probably feel okay filling out your flex spot before you get to your second running back or your tight end or your quarterback spot. Yeah. Of course, we encourage people to wait on quarterbacks. Liz, two running backs and a wide receiver for you so far. And you go back to the well.
I did, because, again, value, and because I have Derrick Henry, who's had the injury concerns. Mm-hmm. We have Cam Akers, who we have had the injury concerns. Mm-hmm. You know who's not been at all injury prone? Nick Chubb. Field, you talked about talent. Nick Chubb is arguably the best pure rusher in the league right now. He is wildly efficient, regardless of what Michigas is under center in Cleveland previous this year. Who knows? At least 5 yards per carry. He's going to touch the ball in terms of totes 16 times a game. I like that floor. Again, roster construction. Just trying at a really volatile position to find as much security as possible.
Yep.
I will say, Daniel, though, I am the running backs, let's mess around and find out, you know? And you're like Pittman, 7.7 targets per game. Love it. Like, you have the team that I thought I would draft. And yet I look at my team and I think, all right, I did what came to me and I'm pretty proud of it.
Absolutely. That's the whole thing with drafting, right? You got to be able to adapt with whatever's fallen to you.
All right. So after pick four, round four, we have some notables. And Daniel, you were sitting there in the fifth round. I was just saying, you had your eyes on some running backs.
Yep.
And you were getting ready to press submit.
Yes, I was.
Lo and behold, sneaky Adam Schefter. Take a listen.
When I look at that list of running backs right now, I'll just go Travis Etienne.
No!
You are very big viewing.
Dang it! Every year you do this to me, man.
We need to, like, poor Liz. Like, we need to get her earplugs or something.
Liz just quit.
Yeah. I'm better. She got a raise, one of the two. So you got to sign up for this.
That was heartbreaking right there, Daniel.
That hurt so much. I wanted Travis Etienne so bad to fall to me. That I specifically was waiting. He was the guy I was targeting in that round as my RB2. And I was still going to take him a little bit ahead of his ADP based on what ESPN was. But we're drafting with a bunch of really smart people. I waited just a little bit too long, and I had to make that choice between filling out that flex, like you said, or grabbing that RB2.
Schefter, by the way, was the person last night who he'd be on the clock, and you could see him sort of sifting through his options. Like he was sort of announcing them to the world, and every time there was this great anticipation about what Schefter would do. Travis Etienne, I thought a great value in the fifth round. I've been sort of growing more and more optimistic by the day on the season that he could have. Let's take a look at some of your other notable picks here, Daniel, in round six, and then again in round seven.
Yeah.
You picked some Lions, no surprise, huh?
So I didn't plan on that. I'm on Ross St. Brown. I loved being able to get him. Dude was a target monster down the stretch last year. If you watched Hard Knocks last night, you know that he is still fighting super hard this season. I am not worried about him taking any plays off whatsoever. And I'm now, Jameson Williams is a guy that I think is going to be so far down at the end of this year. He's not, from a fantasy perspective, he's not going to factor in, I don't think, to what Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to do early in the season. So I was really excited to be able to grab him there as my fourth wide receiver, another wide receiver one for a team, which I was thrilled about. And I wanted to get Dalton Schultz as my tight end in that next round. And stupid Adam Schefter did it again.
Oh. Wow, stupid, huh?
And crashed stupid Dalton Schultz. So I was left. I have this, and we've talked about it. I have this line where TJ Hockenson is that end of my tight end line. I did not love, and please, I'm going to say this to everybody out there. It is not a fantasy suggestion to draft Detroit Lions in back-to-back rounds inside the top 10 rounds, but it happened to me because I needed to grab that tight end position field, and if I didn't grab him there, I was going to get to a spot where I just knew I wasn't going to be as happy as I would be if I grabbed TJ Hockenson.
Okay, well, there you have it. You get to have the player that looks just like you.
Hey, I mean, listen, and this is one of those things. I figure if I draft him enough, sooner or later, he's just going to show up at my house, and we'll be able to, like, have a Miller Lite. We'll come in. Maybe we'll watch some Hard Knocks together. I don't know, TJ. Like, if you want to come over, just hit me up, man.
Do you have booty shorts like TJ Hockenson does?
I literally asked Rosie. I was like, do you have booty shorts that I could wear into the show tomorrow to look like TJ Hockenson?
Okay, I'm glad that she either said no or just lied.
She actually said yes.
No.
You guys want to see him?
No, absolutely not.
All right.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Forward. Desk yesterday, booty shorts
really,
today.
I got really intense real quick. Yeah, sorry, guys.
Say Liz had to have ear surgery after last night. Liz, let's talk about some of your other notable picks. You did not draft the first quarterback last night. I believe you drafted the third quarterback last night. You got Patrick Mahomes in the sixth round. That's actually, to me, like, that's where he belongs or close to it in terms of drafting.
Yeah, I normally would wait on quarterback, and I appreciated that Mike Clay did to teach us all a lesson, as Mike Clay is wont to do. But again, this was the draft that I felt like I'd never really, let's mess around a little bit. So I like the idea of Patrick Mahomes, and I don't know who doesn't. I think you said, in fact, Field. He's a guy who's pretty good at football.
Yeah, he is.
And he's been a top five producer since entering the league. I'm okay with it. He's got a better O-line. Might see those rushing yards go up a little bit.
Yeah, Mahomes, incredible. And as I've said previously, in a 10-team league, I've got him at 42 on my big board. Okay. So you've got to, that'd be like top of round five. You got him at top of round six. So I think you're getting a value here.
Heck yeah.
Obviously, Mike Clay was a testament to the idea that you could wait until the last round of our draft last night when he got Tom Brady. But Patrick Mahomes is also so good that as much as we believe a lot of these guys are going to be step forward players this year, Joe Burrow amongst them, Patrick Mahomes, you don't have to worry about that. 20 plus points per game is basically the floor for Patrick Mahomes. The next round, though, you incurred a bit more risk with Tyler Lockett. Still a value, though, in your estimation at 7.08.
Yeah, again, I just think he's so talented. We keep talking about talent. Nick Chubb is a talented player. Tyler Lockett, I also think, I mean, and maybe this is a little, we get a little on the couch with some of our analysis sometimes, but this is a guy who came out of Kansas State, got hurt a whole bunch entering the league and has that studying. I don't want to say he has that dog in him because he's not that player. He doesn't have the, like,
he's got some dog in him.
He's got dog in him, but not in the same way that I think people, when they meme it, mean. He is, you know, coming out of college, he worked out all the time. He was, his face was in a playbook all the time. Like, he understands X's and O's. He's such a precise route runner. And I feel like when I look at the other personalities in the wide receiving core on that team, that maybe Lockett is going to be the most available to a quarterback who is struggling.
Yeah, going to be up and down because he always has been, even with Russell Wilson. But again, he's not, well, I guess, would he would be a starting wide receiver for you? Would
he'd be a flex.
Okay, so it's a flex option for you. You also have three good running backs. So you could be flexing Nick Chubb based how things had gone so far for you through the first six rounds. Last night, we asked Twitter, who had the better draft through the first six rounds of the proceedings? How about this? Liz Loza takes a decisive 52-48% edge over Daniel Dobb. Care to retort to the masses, Daniel?
No. Okay. I want to Liz gets a W. Liz gets a W. We'll just see. I hope we get to play out this at the end of the year.
Isn't he so gentlemanly?
He is very.
Yeah.
I just want to play it out at the end of the year. Let's see.
Oh, play it out. Play your teams.
I just want to see what happens.
A two-person league?
Also, like, you tell me that I get to be in a 50-50 split with Liz Loza, I'll take that any day of the week. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be her Melvin Gordon. No
running back by committee, a problem in fantasy football. Fantasy analyst by committee, a good thing all the way around. All right, so those are some picks that we have between these two players. After the break, we're going to come back and give you some other notable picks, including who Adam Schefter took third off the board. Raise some eyebrows. We'll tell you who that was in just a moment. But first, Liz, your first ever Geico live read here on the Fantasy Focus podcast.
Well, I'm going to ask you, gentlemen, a question. How would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
I would love it so much.
Right? Inflation, baby. Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Can you imagine having all of those vehicles? Seems nice. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an, again, easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with the great rates and discounts. It's easy. See, easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
Football fans, join the next generation of fantasy football with Rainmakers Football, their first ever NFT fantasy game from DraftKings. It's the only NFT fantasy game licensed by the NFLPA, and now you can play all season for millions in prizes by building the ultimate NFT franchise. Right now, everyone can get their first full roster starter pack for free. Playing Rainmakers is simple. You buy, sell, bid, and win player card NFTs of the biggest names in the game through regular drops and auctions on DraftKings Marketplace. Then you craft lineups of athletes from your NFT collection and earn points for touchdowns, receptions, and more, just like you do in daily fantasy football. You build your NFT franchise and enter free Rainmaker football contests all season long in order to compete for millions in prizes. The next generation of fantasy sports is here, so download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now, sign up with the promo code FFF, click the Rainmakers tile, and opt in to get your first card free. Plus, play for millions in prizes all football season while building the ultimate NFT fantasy franchise with Rainmakers Football. That's promo code FFF. Build, play, win. Only at DraftKings. Contest entries dependent upon a number of types and number of NFT hells. And eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details.
You know, people sometimes ask me whether I exclusively follow my own rankings when I'm doing a draft. And here's the truth. Maybe it's a dirty little secret, but I do not exclusively follow my own rankings because of this very specific reason. Sometimes you just got to hedge in fantasy sports. If you did the exact same thing every time, even if you played in 10 or 15 leagues, like, it would A, maybe get boring, and B, not all of our insights are going to prove correct. On my big board, the first three players are running backs. So if I had a top three pick, I would be inclined to take one of Jonathan Taylor, who I think will be gone, Christian McCaffrey, and then Austin Eckler. Now, that being said, there are three other players who are inside my top 10 that if they went in the first three picks, I'm okay with them. Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase, because I believe that they are a tier of elite wide receivers that could easily finish as wide receiver one. But Adam Schefter took Ja'Marr Chase third overall, and it did raise a couple of eyebrows because of the fact that Cooper Kupp was still available, because of the fact that Austin Eckler was still available, and other players at both of those positions that some would make the case for over Ja'Marr Chase. But I think that ultimately in the first round, and we've used this line many times in this podcast, it's hard to win your league, but it's pretty easy to lose your league. And Ja'Marr Chase is a prodigious talent, 22 years old, plays with an awesome quarterback, plays in a pass-happy offense. He was 18th in the NFL in targets last year and still set the rookie receiving record. There's a chance he has a major step forward this year. I actually kind of like the pick at number three. Any objections?
Yeah.
You object?
I mean, I object. I don't object to you liking the pick. That is your right, Field. I fought for that right. You're allowed to have that.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course, buddy. But I just think three is a little too early for me for Ja'Marr Chase. I'm okay with Cooper Kupp or Justin Jefferson there, but I think because of what you said, those targets are the part that scares me. Games with over 10 targets last year. Cooper Kupp had 11 games with over 10 targets. Justin Jefferson had 7 games with over 10 targets. Ja'Marr Chase had 2. So I need to see that number go up, and we're expecting that number to go up. And even in spite of that, like you said, he is a big play talent. But for me, early in that first round, it's about consistency and floor to go along with that upside. And I think that upside that Cooper Kupp and Justin Jefferson, they have is so close to what Ja'Marr Chase is. I'd rather have their floor over what I feel like Ja'Marr Chase's floor is on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, so I think, Liz, I'm sorry, you go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I mean, I think we might be wondering if Joe Burrow is going to regress from a touchdown perspective. I frankly would maybe like T. Higgins more because of the targets. He actually out-targeted and produced more receptions than Ja'Marr Chase. And I think without C.J. Uzoma there could maybe have more action in the red area. But I agree with you, Daniel, that Justin Jefferson has a higher floor, as does Cooper Kupp. I don't, however, hate not taking a running back at number three. I don't want to choose between those guys. I've said that openly, right? So take the wide receiver. And also, not for nothing, Mike Clay graded Adams' draft as an AAA. So however it fell to him, maybe worked out a way that we weren't ever anticipating.
Well, it sort of depends on how you project the rest of the board. The last thing that I'll say on this is, if I were playing in just one fantasy league this year and I had the third pick in that league, I would not be inclined to take Ja'Marr Chase. But if you're part of the hardcore section of our audience and you're playing in six or seven or eight leagues,
absolutely,
and you want some exposure to different guys, that's the case that I'm trying to make, is that this one didn't make me fall out of my chair thinking, like, what has Adam Schefter done here?
No way.
I think it's a justifiable pick that could look great at the end of the season. Travis Kelce was the first tight end off the board. He goes ninth overall to Tyler Fulgham, who definitely shook things up last night, as he also took Saquon Barkley in round two. A quick news update, and this is going to be a story we'll follow as soon as tomorrow's podcast if we have more information, but Chiefs wide receiver Mecole Hardman was carted off practice earlier today. Don't know the nature of the injury, certainly don't know how severe it is, but we'll keep an eye on that one. Mecole Hardman was slated for a bigger role this year, is slated for a bigger role in the absence of Tyreek Hill. But Liz, is nine too soon for you for Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews?
Yeah, it is.
It is.
I'm not going to take either of those tight ends that early. What we talked about 2 days ago in terms of positional value, I'd rather wait a little bit longer and maybe get a Dalton Schultz because he's going to be a target monster, or just wait the whole thing out after the Mendoza line of tight ends past TJ Hockenson and throw some darts at the Austin Hoopers and Cole Kmets of the world.
Daniel, you okay with pick number nine going Travis Kelce?
No, I'm not. Okay. That's too high for me. And I'm all in on taking I have said all offseason, elite tight end is something I want to be able to grab, but nine is too early for me. I think I'm looking at the 2-3 turn for either Kelce or Mark Andrews if they sort of fall to me at that point. And then I'm looking at, you know, probably 4-5 turn for Kyle Pitts. But nine's
too much. Do you really think Kyle Pitts will realistically fall to you at 4-5? There's always going to be someone in your league, though, who is so hyped for Kyle Pitts that I think he's going to end up being like a third round pick. I just don't believe that the ADP is realistic.
Well, look at where it was last year coming into the NFL without ever having played a snap. His ADP was massive. It was super high last season. I think you're right, Liz, is that trying to wait until pick 40 is probably going to end up being one that you regret for Kyle Pitts, but I'm actually okay with Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews in the first round. Differentiating factor that you get a tight end over your opponent. If you're starting if you're starting Mark Andrews or Travis Kelce and your opponent is starting Mike Gesicki, is there a chance that Gesicki could have like one catch in a game next year just because of the way that offense is organized? I think you just know with Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews that you have the lead pass catcher with two quarterbacks that have been MVP in the past five seasons. And Kelce has been as steady as they come. 80 catches and 1,000 yards in six straight seasons. You can't win your league in the first round of your draft, but you can lose it. Travis Kelce won't be the reason why you lose it.
Really, this you just mentioned, and we're not talking about him, but Mike Gesicki. Can we just do like points for blocking if McDaniels is really going to have him block as much as he
wants? You don't have that spark score to block.
That's right. Yeah, I was going to say, it would not be a great fit relative to what Mike Gesicki does so well as a pass catcher in the middle of the field. Tyler Fulgham continues his unconventional draft with Josh Allen going 29th overall. So he is the contrarian drafter. So I just asked you, Liz, if 9 was too early for a tight end, is 29 too early for a quarterback?
Yeah, it is.
Like, this a 10-team
is
like, league, yeah.
This is, again, what I got Patrick Mahomes how much later? How many rounds later?
And 6.03, and he took him at the back end of the third round.
So three rounds later, I got Patrick Mahomes, and the space between point wise that we're projecting between Mahomes and Josh Allen certainly worth three rounds, I think so.
Is that a Dave Matthews reference there, the space between? No? Crappy band you
Are we under
of?
The table and dreaming or drinking?
Wow. What? I love it. I love
Dave
it.
Matthews is way too mainstream for you, Dave.
For a crappy band you never have.
No, I'm just saying, like, in general, like, every time you mention a band, I'm like, I look around the studio and I'm like, does everybody else know who this is?
That's fair.
Or is it just me?
Rosie's a big Dave Matthews fan, so.
Okay.
Rosie, my buddy Cowboy Sammy likes Dave Matthews, too.
Yeah, I mean, everybody likes Dave Matthews.
Well,
you don't like Dave Matthews?
Yeah, he's all right.
Wow.
He's
okay.
All right for me. He's a little too jam bandy. I'm not a big jam
like
bandy.
Fish?
I'm not a big fish guy. No, our producer, David Presley, huge fish fan.
Oh, fish. Like, I don't know. I do a lot of drives with the baby in the car now, and you got to kind of keep it, like, low enough that she can't totally hear you. Fish.
Jam
ideal
bands.
For that.
All right. Yeah. Maybe I'll give it another shot. I'll tell you what. The car ride home, I'll put on some fish, see what I can do. What was the question, though?
I think you need a longer drive than your drive
than
home,
my drove
fish
home
to really
fish.
Appreciate them. It's a full concert.
Josh Allen definitely messes with fish, though. He looks like a guy who's down with the jam band.
Probably.
Yeah.
I almost did the Josh Allen after the Russell Wilson take last night, but I thought maybe it wouldn't be a good thing to break the table while you were sitting on it.
Ah, yes.
Thank you.
Last thing I'll just say this is that I have no issue with Josh Allen as a player this year. I think he's a good bet to be the highest scoring quarterback in fantasy again this season. This is value-based drafting, though. That's the pushback on Tyler Fulgham. No one is nitpicking the idea that Josh Allen can be as elite as he has been for the past two seasons.
Yeah.
It's just that you could have waited until the final round of this draft and gotten a player in Tom Brady who had the most top two, top five, and top 10 finishes amongst quarterbacks last season.
This very much feels, though, like Tyler was like, I'm going to get the best quarterback. I'm going to get the best tight end.
Yep.
I'm going to make sure that I like lock up these positions, and I'll figure the rest out later.
Also, it's fine to reach for your guy.
Absolutely.
This is still supposed to be, if you have a guy, if this is your pet player or whatever, go reach for them. Go have it. Root for the guy you want to root for. It is a perfectly fine strategy to want to draft players that you're excited to root for on Sunday, Thursdays, and Mondays.
By the way, worth noting that last year, Tyler Fulgham had a very eyebrow-raising draft.
Yeah.
And he ended up landing in back-to-back-to-back picks, fourth, fifth, and sixth round. How about this run? Cooper Kupp, Josh Allen, Ja'Marr Chase. So he was laughing last at the end of last season. Perhaps he will be again this year. But part of the reason why Josh Allen at 29 might raise some eyebrows is because in round 9, we had Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, and Kyler Murray, who, and Mike Clay illuminated this point on our Fantasy Football Now show on Monday night, is that the favorite tier, I think, for drafters, for quarterbacks, is going to end up being quarterbacks 4 through quarterbacks 12 on his board. For me, it's more like quarterbacks 6 through 12. But still, the idea is that all these guys have legitimate top 5 upside. And I'm not sure that like one of them has like 85% upside of top 5 quarterback play, and one of them's at like 22% like upside of top 5 play. It's more like, yeah, there's like a, I don't know, 40% chance all of them, any of them could finish as a top 5 quarterback this season. And those include Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, and Kyler Murray, who I believe it was Mina who took Kyler Murray in round 9, Liz. And another reason why being patient at quarterback has its merits.
I would prefer myself either Dak or Kyler. Now, I wish Dak, who has an excellent floor, constant, consistent producer, had more Kellen Moore in his offense than Mike McCarthy, right?
Okay.
I wish there was a little bit more of a commitment to Kellen Moore's pass-first offense. But his strength of season of the three quarterbacks we're talking about in this tier is the best. I went and looked at how they opened the season. Rematch against Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
we love that week one.
Yeah.
And then he's got Cincinnati, then Giants and Washington, then the Rams. So three of those five games, though, for Dak Prescott seem to be super high producers at the top of the season when I want the most production. But Kyler Murray, who I believe we would all agree has a higher ceiling because of his rushing ability, regardless of the end of the season, fall apart narrative, averaged 21.4 fantasy points per game, opens the season at Kansas City, then he's at Vegas, then he's versus the Rams. Those are three fire matchups that figure to be high scoring.
No DeAndre Hopkins, though, for Kyler Murray, so maybe he'll be a little bit slower coming out of the gates, but still, with all that rushing value, who knows? He could do anything. All right, so the draft was a ton of fun last night, and thanks to the nearly 2 million people that signed up to play the game, and just as important, I should say, because the fans are the lifeblood of what we do. Thank you to Liz Loza for being here in Bristol these past few days. A massive addition to our ESPN fantasy family. We can't wait for what's ahead in at least the next two decades.
I do. That's right. That's right.
I made up for it this time around.
Thank you. Thank
We're going to do a little bit of a line change here on Fantasy Focus as Eric Moody is joining us in just a moment here. But Liz, you are a rock star. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Field. Thank you, Dop. It's a pleasure drafting next to you.
It was a pleasure drafting next to you. Hopefully your heart rate can slow down by the time you finally get home.
Say, Liz can't hear out of her left ear anymore.
It was really great drafting next to you,
Liz.
No,
but you inspired me to maybe try CrossFit with all your box jumping.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that was, we were a little bit nervous that table was going to collapse.
Yeah.
Liz Loza _FF on Twitter. Do yourself a favor and go follow her right now, Liz. You are the best.
Thank you.
Summer is all about outdoor cookouts, backyard get-togethers, and of course, fantasy football drafts. And that means plenty of Miller time. And with just 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12-ounce serving, it's the perfect light beer to sip on all summer long. And all draft long, it's proven over time that with a Miller Lite in your hand, your drafting ability improves. So who doesn't want that? In a world of endless scrolling through delivery options, you know what you're going to be getting with Miller Lite. It's beer, all right? Beer with great taste and only 96 calories. Miller Lite is brewed with beer lovers in mind because Miller Lite is for those who actually want to taste their beer. This summer, have more fun with Beer Lovers Light Beer, the great tasting Miller Lite. There's nothing like that first sip of an ice cold beer on a hot summer day sitting by the pool, no matter where you're at. So whenever it's Miller time for you, by a fire pit, poolside, a dive bar, make sure that you grab Miller Lite and make the most of it. Next time you're getting ready to enjoy one of the cold ones with your crew, go to MillerLite.com/FFF to find delivery options near you. Or you can pick up Miller Lite pretty much anywhere they sell beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Lite Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
When it comes to choosing the top running back, wide receiver, quarterback, or even which defense is right for your team on any given week, you know where to turn. But when you're trying to decide on the right credit card for your wallet, the right mortgage lender for your dream home, or the right savings account, where do you go? The nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you make a smart financial decision. NerdWallet is a personal finance site run by money nerds. Think people as obsessed about personal finance as we are about fantasy sports, and they want to share their knowledge with our listeners to help them find the right financial products for them. Let's say you're looking for a new rewards credit card. NerdWallet can help you compare cashback cards side by side so you can feel confident choosing the one that suits your spending. Think of them like your weekly wide receiver PPR rankings, but you're comparing top credit cards that work for you. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions. We are back, and it's great to have, for the second time,
second
time on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, Mr. Eric Moody. Great to be here. Great to have you.
Glad to be here. You know, I was sitting there thinking, I was looking at Dop. I'm like, I don't know if I can sit next to him today.
Stop.
I don't know.
After last night?
After last night.
Oh, you know, Eric, you took
Russell Wilson.
Stole a couple of picks from us. You are going to be writing our daily notes article, which is up literally every day?
Every day. Weekdays, Monday through Friday.
And a tremendous resource for those out there that are looking to get the latest intel. As we look through the preseason, we always have to be mindful of things that are real and things that are not. But can you give us a couple of takeaways so far through the preseason that you think are most notable?
Yeah, and I've got quite a few. I'll try to run through these as quickly as I can. I'll say, for one, I know you were talking about Alvin Kamara earlier.
Yep.
His legal team seems to be delaying, you know, these proceedings. And so it sounds like he's going to be available. So he's someone you definitely need to pick up in drafts at his ADP. And then also, like, CeeDee Lamb. You know, you think about the injury with James Washington. That's really going to position him for a ton of targets. You also have uncertainty with Michael Gallup when he'll come back. And so, again, CeeDee Lamb's a great target in the second round. You got Tim Patrick. You know, he went down, you know, tore an ACL. Everyone's looking, is KJ Hamler going to be the guy? He'll get some additional targets, but I am more excited about Albert O.
Okay, Albert Aquabenam.
Yeah. So, you know, in some other news, I'm like, Ramondre Stevenson. I know you talked about him. He's in a good situation.
Yeah.
I know he's really worked on his, his health, you know, his weight. So he's in great physical shape, working on his pass catching skills. He's going to get a lot of touches, a lot of opportunity there. So I'll pause and see what you two gentlemen have to say about some of those.
You start when you go first.
You go first because I want to jump off after you.
Okay. I'll finish where we started with Ramondre Stevenson just to finish off what we were discussing earlier.
Yeah.
I think that Ty Montgomery could chip away at some of that passing game usage, but I think that one thought I want to share is the Patriots are now a year away from Ramondre Stevenson potentially being their go-to lead back. And worth noting, if you play Dynasty right now, Ramondre Stevenson is a very desirable trade target even before the year. And if things don't go as you might envision them right now, I still think a really smart trade target during the year. If it's still a committee, Damian Harris's contract is up after this season. Keep an eye on Ramondre going forward.
Yeah. And I think I'm totally with you on Albert Okwuegbunam. I would rather have him as a tight end, especially if I'm going to wait at the tight end position if the draft falls and I'm not able to get someone. Mm-hmm. Albert Okwuegbunam and where he's going to be in that offense over KJ Hamler for me almost any day of the week.
Yeah, no, it's just it's some opportunity there. He's a big body, wide catch radius, so Russell Wilson is going to love throwing passes to him. Why don't we talk about this? Josh Jacobs' fall from grace. I'd say his fantasy value is sinking faster than the Titanic.
That bad, huh?
It's quick.
It's bad.
It's quick.
And what makes you feel that way? Is it the fact that he played in the preseason opener in the Hall of Fame game or something else?
It's a number of different factors. You look at the preseason game where you know he played high number of snaps, got a high number of touches while his teammates, he's watching Darren Waller, Carr, Adams on the sideline. But also they did not sign his contract option.
Yeah, pick up that fifth-year option.
Yeah. That's right. So he is not coming back. But then when you look at Josh McDaniels' history with running backs, uses a committee. You've got Kenyon Drake there, Zamir White. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's going to get the touches to justify his average draft position.
Dude, I am all in. And so I've been drafting Zamir White everywhere in best ball. Obviously, you've got to be a really deep league to draft Zamir White. He's not a 10-team target. Yeah. But he's somebody that I think a lot of people have been looking at as a later sleeper.
You know what? Yeah. I don't think a late 15th, 16 round pick in a 10-team league is that off the table for Zamir White.
Then moving up the boards.
The history suggests that Josh McDaniels is going to either go by committee or he's going to go by the hot hand. And if Zamir White eventually becomes the hot hand, he's the only guy amongst the running backs that we're discussing who was brought in by the Raiders. Mm-hmm. This current regime, I should say.
Yeah, I would say that. So another news item is Isaiah McKenzie. I know we talk about Gabriel Davis, the breakout is coming. Maybe, but you got to look at Isaiah McKenzie. I'm like, he's having a great training camp. And when you look at Josh Allen with how he targets his slot receivers and how many three wide receiver sets that they run and four wide receiver sets, like he's going to get more volume than people think. So I like him quite a bit. And A.J. Brown, you know, you look at the news that's been buzzing about him and Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
So I think he's someone that fantasy managers are drafting like as a wide receiver too. But at the end of the day, he could finish, in my opinion, as a low-end wide receiver one.
Okay, yeah, going closer to like wide receiver 15 right now, you sound more optimistic, which is good. So you went into detail the last time you were on this podcast about Russell Wilson potentially finishing as QB1. And then something happened last night where Daniel Dopp decided to get really, really, really unkind and stole him from you one pick before you're going to draft Russell Wilson. That left you to pivot and you went with Trey Lance. What's your belief about the ceiling for Trey Lance this season?
Yeah, what's funny, briefly on the Russell Wilson thing, I knew I waited too long to take him. And then once I saw, I was like, great, Dopp is going on the clock. I know I felt in my heart that you're going to do it. But as far as Trey Lance, answer your question, Field, he's in a great position to break out. I think the thing that bothers me with the community's, I guess, view of Lance is that they're afraid of uncertainty.
Okay.
I'm like, because we have a very small sample size. But a rookie and the transformation that they can make in their first full NFL offseason is criminally underrated. Mm-hmm. And so I think Trey Lance is the type of player that could have like the fantasy season that Lamar Jackson had. Was that back in 2019?
Yeah.
That epic season. So I think he could replicate that. So I love his average draft position, and he is someone I'm aggressively targeting if I don't get Russell Wilson.
He's your QB1 in that league if we ever were to play it out. Before we get to the fantasy hot seat here, I do want to encourage people to go on Twitter, find Eric N. Moody if they haven't already found him, and press that follow button, because what Eric does an incredible job of is compiling a ton of information into threads and not afraid to put yourself out there as well with some bold stances. As you just heard a reference, people don't like uncertainty in fantasy football. And sometimes a lot of us draw similar conclusions. And then, as we know, we have things like Cooper Kupp's historic season last year that no one was calling. So some stuff that none of us have mentioned is definitely going to happen. Some stuff that we are very certain of is also not going to happen this year. Yeah, so go find Mr. True. Eric N. Moody on Twitter for some original thoughts.
Getting outside of that groupthink field.
That's right. It's time now for us to head over to the fantasy hot seat. And that's where you get to find out what Moody is made of, not on Twitter.
Dun, dun, dun. Are you ready for the fantasy hot seat, Eric Moody?
Oh, I'm ready. Let's do it.
He's limber. He's ready to go.
All right, here we go. First question is...
No, Cooper, please keep going.
That's tough. No, we owe like $17,000 in music rights now for that, Eric. We'll just pull that out of your paycheck, the first one. So listen, Cooper Kupp or Justin Jefferson? Who do you like this year more?
You know what? I do like Justin Jefferson more. He's essentially going to be Kevin O'Connell's version of Cooper Kupp. Yeah. And, you know, his ADP is a little bit behind Cooper Kupp, so I'm going there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Kyler Murray or Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts, that's who I'm going with. They have surrounded him with playmakers, and so he needs to succeed. He realizes this has to be the year. I need to develop. Everything needs to come together. So I think he's going to have a marvelous season.
All right. Where is your favorite pick in a 12-team draft? Where do you want to pick from other than the pick you picked from last night because all your picks got sniped in front of you? That's fair. That's fair.
Jeez.
Sorry, guys.
I would say I love just picking at the turn.
Yeah.
So if I'm at like 9, 10, or 11, or 12, I think that's a really good spot where you can snag a lot of really great players back to back.
A lot of good value there. All right, what's your hottest take for the 2022 football season?
I knew this question was coming, and I was chuckling because here's my hot take: is that AJ Dillon will finish with more fantasy points than Aaron Jones.
Ooh, like it. That's a good one.
Aaron Rodgers said yesterday that both of them could realistically have 50 catches this season.
I believe it. Just one quick stat: I'm like, you look at Aaron Jones. I'm like, outside of Devontae Adams, who's obviously now with his buddy, Derek Carr.
Yeah.
I'm like, Aaron Jones, over the past two seasons, has like, I think it's like 99 receptions, basically the second most. And so, but I think what a lot of people underestimate about, I'll say about Dylan, is that they're like, okay, Dylan's a great runner. You know, you look at the photo with them side by side, but he really showed his ability as a pass catcher last year. And I think that's something the fantasy football community is not taking into account. So again, I think he can outperform Aaron Jones on multiple levels.
We're going to cut your mic for this one, but what's the worst fantasy take you've ever had?
Wait. I want to ask one real quick question, if you don't mind.
Please.
AJ Dillon currently being drafted in the 11th round. I just want to say I am wholeheartedly in. I have been doing so much, a lot of hero running back where I draft one guy super early. Mm-hmm. And if I don't get the guy that I like, if I don't find a running back that I am waiting on Aaron or AJ Dillon to be my RB2 because of what could potentially happen there. I'm all in on
11.
You.
Crazy.
I like it.
All
right. Now the mic can get cut.
All right. Okay. Worst fantasy take you've ever had?
I was thinking about this now. I'm going to go way back to 2013 here.
Oh, I like it.
So I'm going way back to 2013. I was like, you know what? Monty Ball, his average draft position, you know, could greatly exceed expectations. I'm like, this guy could finish as like as an RB1. So we all know how that turned out.
Yeah, that wasn't.
You know what, though? If I thought about it long and hard, I might be able to recall. But you're far enough away from that one that some people listening to the show are going to be like, who is Monty Ball? You know? So I just think you did a good job of covering your bases there.
That's so good.
What's your I know you're humble and modest. What's your best fantasy take you've ever had?
I'll say my best fantasy take. You know, I think back to, it was 2015. So I think back to 2015, and I recommended you do not leave your fantasy football draft without getting David Johnson.
All right.
And he ultimately ended up becoming like a league winner. Now we know what happened in his career, like after his superb rookie season, that year he was just phenomenal.
Unreal. Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
He sure was ridiculous. And he ended up getting himself a 3-year, nearly $40 million extension as a result of it. Great call by you on that one. It has not been easy to suss out how Bruce Arians wanted to use his running backs in the past. So
no, not at all.
A great call there.
Speaking of having a rookie running back, is there another rookie sleeper that you like in this year's fantasy draft?
Yeah, you already know where I'm going with this. So Damian Pierce.
Yep.
Great situation. You look at his competition. I feel like at this point I could probably run faster than Rex Burkhead.
Wow.
And Marlon Mack. I'm just saying, you know, whenever I played ball, I did run like a 4.9. Probably can't do that now. But anyway, I digress. So we're going with Damian Pierce there. Great situation, a competition that he can beat them. I'm like, he can win that competition. So it may be one of those where you may not get instant gratification. Got to be patient.
Yep.
But by the end of the season, I think we'll be very pleased. He could be this year's like David Johnson for back then. Wow. Who knows?
I would really like to put up a poll, Jackson, if you don't mind. Who is faster, Eric Moody, Rex Burkhead, or Marlon Mack?
Both those guys can scoot now a little bit. You know, a good reminder on Damian Pierce and what you said there is that it may not be instant gratification, is that a lot of our preseason analysis tends to be forecasting what a guy can do over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. But think about all the players last year who may have only helped you for 6 weeks, but were actual league winners. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yep.
Yes.
How many games did he have prior to the breakout where anybody was starting him? None.
Rashad Penny.
Rashad Penny had a five-game stretch. 2 years ago, Chase Claypool had four touchdowns in a game and then had like 10 over that four-game period and then did nothing for the other 12 games that year. So it's just a reminder that we get so caught up in the preseason talking exclusively about season-long outlooks that this is a good example of a guy in Damian Pierce who may not help you in week one. He may not help you until week 10, but have your eyes on him. Who's writing the waiver wire column this year?
I am.
That's Hey!
No, I'm excited about that because, you know, the waiver wire, that's one of the ways you can win your league. Waiver wire, start, sit, you know, the draft and trade. So I'm excited to be able to help all of our readers, listeners, everyone with that.
Heck Eric N. Moody on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He's going to be writing the daily notes column throughout the rest of preseason and then during the season, plus the waiver wire column. Yep. You're a ranker. You'll be on this show as well. We are so grateful to have you here. Yeah,
happy
Thanks
to be
for
here.
Joining us today. And great job throughout the marathon. That was a blast.
Thank you. Yeah, team did great. Yeah, it was very fun. So, including Dop jumping on that table.
I will draft next to you any day of the week.
Let's do it,
any
baby.
Any day of the week. We're going to be back tomorrow.
Yeah,
Field,
we are.
Mike and I, we got Double Trouble coming up.
Who are we talking about?
Titans and Texans.
Tighten up.
Let's do it.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
I need a nap.
I'm going to take a nap. Seriously. I'm going
to
go
home. No, I do. I have to work.
I'm going
to
go home. I'm going to watch Hard Knocks. I'm going to rewatch Hard Knocks twice.
And then I'm run through a brick wall. That'll knock you out.
That's what I'm going to Then I'm going to take a nap afterwards.
Hard Knocks guy, yes or no? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got two kids. There's always coffee.
Yeah, you got to have coffee.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guide. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name. He's Field Yates.